Welcome to our podcast series that speaks about all things happening in the world relating to disability and the benefits to all of a disability confident economy and community. For those of you who are new to my podcasts, I generally try to bring a real and relatable approach to my topics, which typically combines stories of my lived experiences as a person with a disability and my professional experience as a global disability confidence consultant and business leader. My name is Lisa Bradshaw. I'm a social entrepreneur and advocate, public speaker and disruptor, and a business consultant who works with organizations to bring disability confidence to our economy. Now, aside from my formal credentials, which you can find on my LinkedIn page, I'm quite familiar with the actual impact of an accessible and inclusive world as a wheelchair user who has traveled the bumpy and often inaccessible road to middle-agedom, both in South Africa and in the UK, which are two very different worlds from an accessibility perspective, I can assure you. So now that you know a little bit about me, you're probably curious to know what I mean by my podcast topic, I'd give an arm and a leg for business to see the return of investment of disability confidence. Now, I spend a lot of my day convincing people and business of things that seem obvious to me. Yet, I've got to be aware that they're not always obvious to others. Given the fact that the way each of us view the world tends to shape our understanding of it, it stands to reason that not everybody sees the path to disability inclusion from quite the same frame of reference that I do. For me, it's a no-brainer that as a consumer, disability confidence would benefit everyone. So for business, delivering services and products to a consumer, disability confidence is an absolute no-brainer. Why? Because from my frame of reference, I am a tech user, so I support accessible AI. I purchase Alexa and all those things that make my life easier. I support digital enabler features in order to get my work done. Because as a consumer, when I make purchasing decisions, I automatically will make those decisions looking at the accessibility of the products and the services. As an avid traveler, I automatically know how accessibility shapes the holiday budget spent on my entire family. But to someone who doesn't see the world from my perspective, their take on the conversation around disability inclusion very often tends to be from the perspective that it only benefits people with a disability and is not actually a key and fundamental priority to their business. In my career as a strategic consultant on building a disability confident and accessible economy, my role is therefore to help other leaders and business stakeholders to see things from a different perspective, to challenge this assumption that it only benefits a few people with a disability, and to realize the return on investment in intentional efforts to creating a barrier-free, enabling, and inclusive culture for everyone, learning from the lived insights and experiences of our employees and our customers with disabilities. So how do we make it easier for leadership and decision makers in business to see what I see? So the first thing I've got to do is help these stakeholders reposition the approach. In leadership meetings, the topic of diversity and inclusion often feels like it's well covered. Gender balance, check. Cultural diversity, ongoing, we're working on it. Age inclusion, well, it's being discussed. And it's often championed by many people in leadership who can identify with these diversity groupings. But when it comes to disability confidence, the topic becomes a bit more whispered or avoided. And many managers still hesitate to step up as champions of change, not because they don't care, but because they assume it's a complex, costly task that is not core to their function in the business. Very often, responsibility for this is firmly planted at the foot of the organization's HR and DE&I team, and not the responsibility of business unit leads to drive and measure impact. Here is the truth, though. Disability confidence is a leadership imperative in all areas of business, and it's actually so easy to achieve once you recognize the return on investment.
Aha!
The difficulty lies not in the action, but in the following misperceptions that tend to devalue this return on investment positioning. The first thing, that many managers still see disability as a risk, not as a resource. Now, what do I mean by that? For many leaders, disability is a subconsciously linked thing. It's subconsciously linked with compliance necessity, adjustment disruptions, or legal exposure. The conversation begins and ends with what reasonable adjustments are we liable for and where are we not compliant and what do we need to do to avoid penalization. But that mindset misses the strategic value of disability confidence as a competitive advantage, and it results in sporadic efforts and poor methods of measuring progress and impact. Research conducted by Accenture, for example, found that organizations leading in disability confidence are 2.6 times more likely to have a higher shareholder return. Why? Because inclusion breeds innovation, problem solving, and resilience, three qualities every high-performing manager wants in their team. And learning from lived insight feedback from stakeholders with a disability, who may be employees or clients, allows us to design our products and services better for everyone as we recognize barriers in real time and respond swiftly to enhance that impact. Now, the second point of hesitation from leadership when managers is often that fear of getting it wrong. And sometimes that fear of getting it wrong actually just delays action unnecessarily. Even the most well-intentioned leaders can get stuck on this fear of the unknown, worrying about potential missteps which they may take. So things like, well, what if I use the wrong terminology and upset or offend somebody? What if I can't meet every need that my employees are asking for? You know, what if I say something in a meeting that inadvertently offends somebody from an etiquette point of view? What if I offend somebody in a meeting in the way that I'm presenting or talking or sharing information? What if they're not able to perform? Am I still able to performance manage somebody with a disability? So the fear of getting it wrong, often backed by good intentions, are often the things that are quite understandable, but done correctly, often misplaced. Disability confidence isn't about perfection. It's a progress. It's a journey that you take together with people with a disability and learn as you go. You are not required to have all the answers, but you are required to be open to seeing things from a different perspective. Having conversations of learning with people with lived experience, applying what you've learned into your common practices, and demonstrating that inclusion is part of how you lead. It's not a compliance checkbox. Great leaders model humility and action. They don't wait for certainty. They move forward with intent. So if that is your point of hesitation, take a moment and take a sigh of relief. You don't need to anticipate everybody's needs all the time. You just need to feel confident to say, let me join this journey of learning. Let me travel it with people with lived experience. Let me take what I've learned and let me start to build it in to the DNA of how I lead. So what exactly is the return on investment of disability confident organizations? I think this is a really important question to ask. Let's talk numbers, because return on investment in every business is absolutely front and center critical. The first return of investment realization of a disability-confident organization lies in its productivity. Employees who feel valued, enabled, and included, they show up more fully. Studies show that a 22% increase in productivity when you've got inclusive teams. And here's the penny-dropping moment. A huge part of leadership is understanding what is disabling your employees. What is preventing them from performing at their peak? And what can you do to enable them by removing that barrier that's disabling them? It could be that they need training in something. It could mean that they need better technology or software. It could be that they need a disability-related adjustment. Second ROI, return on investment benefit, retention. Employees with a disability who experience inclusion are 30% more likely to stay with their employer long term. Now, I can tell you as a wheelchair user myself, before I started my own business and I was out there as an employee in the world of work, knowing that I was working for an accessible organization that was adaptive to my accessibility needs was a huge value add for me. I wasn't quite so quick to want to jump ship and go and try working for another employer because I wasn't sure about the enabling environment that I would be going into. I wasn't convinced that they would include me and enable me as a valued employee. And so I tended to be more conscious of staying with those and appreciating those employers who recognized my full ability. So we know as managers how long it takes to get new employees integrated into our business. That is a real return on investment advantage when we're able to keep those employees that we've so heavily invested in. The third return on investment factor is reputation. Consumers reward authenticity, and that's just the nuts and bolts of it in today's world. 80% of consumers are more loyal to brands that are visibly inclusive. But add to this the 3.5 billion customers who make consumer decisions based on accessibility preferences. That's a very big market that you're out there to impress. In short, disability confidence drives performance, retention, and trust. These are three pillars of effective management. So hopefully these ROI points have really pointed to one thing. Disability confidence and inclusion is a business leadership skill, a competitive advantage. It's not an HR compliance thing. Very often, management assume that disability inclusion belongs to the HR function. It doesn't. It actually belongs to leadership. Leaders of all business units are actually the gatekeepers to an accessible economy for all. Let me give you an example to illustrate why these business unit leads are so important. An IT leader who doesn't understand digital accessibility is not actually future ready because this practice is starting to become a standard requirement. It's starting to be legally required and customers on internal and external are starting to expect these accessibility standards as a norm. If you are a supply chain leader and you don't automatically ask suppliers to deliver their products and services in an accessible way, that's going to make it much harder to support your employees who have a disability or the customers who use the products and services that you are on selling. Your team also takes its cue from you as their leaders. So when you ask, how can we make this meeting or process more accessible for everyone? You are sending a powerful message to your team. Inclusion is how we do business here. It's good for people with a disability. It's good for our business. It's good for our brand. It's good for everyone. That mindset shift from compliance to culture is what transforms teams. It builds engagements, which allow us to learn from each other. It builds psychological safety, which frees people to be open about their enabling needs. And it fosters innovation as we recognize that common practice is not always the best practice as business dynamics change. These actions from business leads signal to senior leadership that your team is aligned to the organization's value and its growth strategies. So it comes down to the fact that we need to understand disability confidence is so much simpler than you think. We are making it a much bigger and harder deal than it needs to be. Here's the good news. You don't need a massive budget or a new strategy to build disability confidence personally, professionally, or at an organizational level. You just need curiosity, accountability, and intentional planning. Start small. So ask, what could make your workday easier? Or what would make your customer experience more accessible? Put the questions out there and learn from people with lived experience of disability and explore solutions and responses together. Secondly, learn. Take 30 minutes to explore accessible meeting practices or digital tools. Invite people with a disability within your business to test drive the accessibility of new products or services or communication platforms, you know, or just ways that you lead. And thirdly, lead. Model inclusive behavior in every team interaction, recognizing your ableism, recognizing the stereotypes that often lead to assumptions that could influence your decision. Bring accessibility from the back of your mind to the front of your mind as you go about your business day to day. Because what it comes down to is small changes in leadership behavior compound into really big cultural shifts. So here's the bottom line to wrap this up. Disability confidence isn't complicated, it's smart business. Managers who embrace it gain stronger teams, higher engagement, more loyal customers. Those who ignore it risk losing out on talent, innovation, and trust. The hard part isn't doing it. It's realizing how easy it can be done when you see the return on investment. If you lead people, you shape culture. Disability confidence isn't somebody else's job. It's your leadership advantage. If you would like to explore ways of capacitating your leadership team to become more disability confident or curious or enabled, or you just want to work through a way that we can set a strategy in place in your organization that will make this conversation business as usual, please reach out to me at lisa@bradshillery.co.za or via my website, lisabradshawinternational.com or bradshillery.co.za. Thank you for joining.